Have you always thought the Old Testament feasts were only for Israel? If so, you may be in for a surprise today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. Today, our Bible teacher is Dr. Gary Hedrick, president of CJF Ministries. Gary's topic for this current series of studies is the Spring Feasts of the Lord. He's explaining how the seven feasts in Leviticus 23 are not only significant in themselves, but also how they collectively form an exciting outline of God's prophetic plan leading up to the second coming. I'll be back at the close of the program to tell you about our special offer. And now, with today's installment, here's Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. It's good to have you with us today as we continue this study of the Feasts of the Lord. And if you have a Bible handy, why don't you turn with us to Leviticus chapter 23, and you can follow along with the study. And on the last program, we were talking about the fact that some people say Sunday has replaced Saturday as the Sabbath. It kind of goes along with that whole replacement theology philosophy that says the church has replaced Israel, and the Christian holidays have replaced the Jewish holidays, and the Christian Sabbath, which they say is Sunday, has replaced the Jewish Sabbath, which of course is Saturday. And we were talking about the fact that the Old Covenant has been superseded by the New Covenant. And some of our brethren in the Messianic movement, particularly those who call themselves Torah observant, don't like this teaching that the Old Covenant has been superseded by the New Covenant. But that's just the way it is. In this sense, the Torah of Moses is like the Emancipation Proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation is a wonderful document, and it makes good reading, but it is no longer in force as the law of the land because it was superseded by the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Now, does that mean we should ignore what President Lincoln said in the Emancipation Proclamation? Certainly not. And likewise, there are many teachings and principles in the Torah that we can benefit from. We should study it. We should learn it. We should read it. For example, Dr. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, outlines the many health benefits of following the dietary laws of the Torah. But again, that does not mean the Torah is in force for believers as a legal covenant, because once the terms of the covenant have been met, it's fulfilled. That means it's no longer binding. It no longer has authority over us, because our authority is the new covenant of Yeshua the Messiah. So Yeshua, Jesus, didn't destroy the law. He fulfilled it. Why would Jesus want to destroy something that he himself wrote? Because indeed, that is what we believe, that he wrote the law. It was the finger of Yeshua the Messiah that carved the Decalogue into those stone tablets at Mount Sinai. Throughout the Torah, he is called the angel of Yahweh, the angel of the Lord, the angel of Adonai. So he says here, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And he says, not one yod, and that's the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, a little curlicue, yod, not one yod or one tittle, and that's a little curvature on the end of a letter, even smaller than a yod, not one tittle shall pass from the Torah until what? Until all is fulfilled. So here's the principle. Nothing in the Torah can pass away without being fulfilled. Now, did the Sabbath pass away? That's the same thing as asking if the Sabbath was fulfilled. Well, it's true that Yeshua fulfilled the Sabbath in the sense that he is our Sabbath rest, because we rest in him. That's what Hebrews says. We're not under legalistic Sabbath regulations, where the rabbis tell you how far you can travel on Saturday, or whether you can cook a meal on Saturday, and even if you can pull an ox out of a ditch on Shabbat. In Israel, they have special elevators that operate on the Sabbath. These These Shabbat elevators only go up one floor at a time. If you need to go up 12 or 13 stories, maybe in a big hotel or something, it can take a long time because the elevator stops on every floor, even if there's nobody there waiting to get on. But this is how the rabbis keep the elevators from working too hard on Shabbat. There are literally thousands of these Sabbath laws and Sabbath regulations derived from the Talmud and Jewish tradition. In Jesus' day, one of the Sabbath laws had to do with the issue of harvesting grain on the Sabbath. So when Jesus' disciples were walking through the fields one day and they began to pluck stalks of grain and eat the kernels, the Pharisees said they were violating the Sabbath laws. And not long after that, they asked Jesus if it was lawful to heal someone on the Sabbath. You see, as New Testament believers, we are not subject to the commandments and traditions of men unless those commands or traditions can be shown to have a direct relationship to a biblical precept. Tradition is not always bad, especially if it's based on biblical principles. Sometimes traditions are good. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, we're told to stand fast and to hold the traditions that we are taught. In 2 Thessalonians 3:6, we're told to withdraw fellowship from anyone who does not walk according to the tradition we have been taught. So tradition is not always bad. Sometimes it's good. But tradition is only valid to the extent that it reflects biblical precepts and biblical teachings. Because the Bible itself, not tradition, but the Bible itself is our final and ultimate authority. You see, in Judaism, there's a tradition for everything. And sometimes you've got to wonder how they come up with some of this stuff. Some of it has no rhyme or reason. That's why if they can't think of a real reason why they do something, the rabbis will just say it's tradition. We have a rabbi in Israel who speaks to our tour groups almost every time we're there. And we love him. He's a wonderful guy. We all love him. And our people always ask him lots of questions about why certain things are the way they are in Judaism. And you know what his favorite answer is? Tradition. You know, tradition is the ultimate answer in many cases. So it's sort of like when you're studying Greek in seminary. If the teacher can't think of some applicable rule of grammar, he'll just say it's OGC. It stands for Old Greek Custom. OGC. When there's no rhyme or reason, no explanation, it's just OGC. And it's the same thing when it comes to Jewish tradition. If nobody knows why we do it, the rabbis just say it's tradition. And that's the only reason they need. But you know what? Jesus said, no, I have to have a better reason than that. I'm not going to condemn my disciples for plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath because they didn't do anything wrong. They may have violated your tradition, but that's not a good enough reason to condemn them. But let's get back to what we were talking about. Nothing in the Old Testament can pass away until it is what? Until it's fulfilled. Now, we know the Torah was fulfilled in the first coming of the Messiah because the Torah was all about atonement for sin. It had to do with sacrifice and offerings and the consequences of sin and how the Messiah would deal with the sin problem by making himself the ultimate and final substitute or sacrifice for sin. That's why when John the Baptizer saw Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So those things have been fulfilled in the Torah. Jesus fulfilled them. But one thing in the Torah has not yet been fulfilled, and that is the Sabbath rest that this world will experience during the coming millennial reign of Yeshua the Messiah. And remember, nothing can pass from the Torah until, or any other part of the Bible, until it has been fulfilled. Now, it's true that many Christian dispensationalists will say that the Sabbath has been replaced by Sunday. They draw a distinction between Israel and the church, and that's fine because that distinction is legitimate for the most part, especially prophetically. There are two distinct tracts of prophecy in the Bible, one for national Israel and another for the body of Messiah. But when our fellow dispensationalists say the Sabbath is for Israel and Sunday worship is for the church, I've got to say, where do you get that? I can tell you where it came from. It came from Constantine, and this whole process in the 3rd century of divorcing the church from her Jewish roots. That's where it came from. We don't want to worship on the Jewish Sabbath, so we'll make up our own Sabbath. And of course, the apologetic for it was that the resurrection occurred on the first day of the week. But if we really wanted to commemorate the resurrection, we would have our worship services on Saturday night, because that's when the first day of the week actually began in Jewish reckoning. Because it's nothing more than man-made tradition. There is nothing anywhere in the New Testament that even hints that the Sabbath has been abolished and replaced by Sunday. The very notion is preposterous. Listen, if it was true that New Testament believers are supposed to set aside just one day of the week for fellowship and praise and worship, then that one day would have to be the Sabbath. But the simple fact is that the body of Messiah worships every day. For us, every day is the Lord's day. Every day is a Sabbath day, because we are resting in Yeshua the Messiah. He is our rest, according to the book of Hebrews. He did the work. We are the beneficiaries. We rest in Him. And now every day is a day for breaking bread together and for fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Every day is a day for reading the Word together, for instructing one another, for admonishing one another, for fellowshipping with one another. Every day is a day for doing the work of the Lord and proclaiming His word. Not just one day of the week, but every day of the week. And again, if we were supposed to esteem one day above another, it would have to be the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was never changed. Never. And since the Sabbath is a prophetic type of the coming messianic age, the prophecy has yet to be fulfilled in its entirety. Yes, of course, we rest in the Lord, and He is our Sabbath. That is true. But there is also a time coming when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the sea. And in Ezekiel chapter 46, you find that the day of worship in the millennial temple is when? Do they worship on Sunday? No, I'm sorry, my friend. It's Saturday. Shabbat. So Shabbat has not been completely fulfilled yet, but it will be in the millennium. Well, that's all of our time. I hope you'll be back here for our next edition of Messianic Perspectives. Until then, this is your friend Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. It's always good to have you with us, whether you're listening from home, at work, or in your car. This is Messianic Perspectives, and you've been listening to Dr. Gary Hedrick talking about the Spring Feasts of the Lord, the 7 annual meetings outlined in Leviticus 23. We have all the programs in this series available in a set of 3 CDs packaged in an attractive binder for a suggested contribution of just $18. That's the 3 CDs entitled The Spring Feasts of the Lord by Dr. Gary Hedrick for a gift of only $18. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on the Spring Feasts of the Lord. Right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.